Hi, and welcome to The Literary Sipper. I'm Amber Beattie Hill, your host, and today we're going to be asking the question, how do you use your library? I don't know about you, but I am an absolute library stan, and I use my library all the time, and it's National Library Month, and so you've probably been seeing things on your social media and whatnot, but also in today's paper, in Seattle anyway, they're cutting the library opening days, like the days that they're open, by 1 to 2 days a week. And I am just so incredibly frustrated by this. I live in one of the wealthiest areas in the country. The tech money is off the charts here. Why are libraries suffering during this time period? They are one of the only places in American society today that you can go without the expectation of purchasing a thing. You check your books out on a library card. You can use the bathroom. You can ask a librarian any question, and she will figure out the answer for you. You can use the computers. You can put books on hold. You can join story time. There's craft times. In some of the libraries I've been to across the country, you can check out musical instruments. You can check out games, of course, movies and CDs and all kinds of things. But I just find it absolutely appalling that we are watching this institution suffer because people feel like money would be better spent in other places when they don't have an understanding of what it is that the library actually does for people. I love everything about libraries. I love librarians. I love books, obviously. I love that the library has been there for me in so many times of my life. From being a child and being incredibly excited to walk out of the Norwalk Public Library with my arms full of books, from being a young student and Mrs. Abby, the librarian in my elementary school, had a bathtub that had shag clawfoot bathtub in the library with shag carpeting, royal blue, inside of it. And everyone wanted to get to library time first to claim the bathtub and listen to her melodious voice read to us from books like Tuck Everlasting or Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing. When I lived in New York City, of course, the New York Public Library was a place where I took classes with the poets and writers, with teachers and writers. I got to go down deep into the stacks and see how the books levitated on these pulley systems. And of course, saw all of the fascinating artifacts that they had there, from William Blake's illustrations to Jack Kerouac's handmade baseball cards. All of those things hold such a treasured memory in my life, but it's also the memory of the space itself. At the University of Michigan, I studied at the Law Library, which is one of the most beautiful libraries on campus. And in fact, the Alumni Association posted on their LinkedIn recently, you know, where did you like to study on campus? And all of the alums, you know, from every decade, Law Library, Law Library, Law Library. But of course, I also added that we also like to study at Dominic's on the rooftop bar as well. But the Law Library was definitely number one choice as well. I love Susan Arlene's book, The Library Book. And if you've never read it, I highly encourage you to. I also love the audiobook. I love listening to her read it herself. But it talks about the history of libraries, from the traveling libraries that used to make their rounds around all the lighthouses in America to the women on horseback who used to deliver books to rural communities to the modern day Los Angeles Public Library and the fire that happened there in the 80s. But how to use it now is the question. And I'm so excited by things like Michael Three, who many of you might know, follow his Instagram, who talks about how the library saves lives and saves children's lives by showing them there's a safe place and adults who care about them in the midst of their own city, whatever city that is, and that books are there to showcase other lives and other worlds and give them the empathy necessary to function in today's society. But it's also a wonderful place for those of you who are creative to take yourself out on an artist date without spending any money. I mean, just going to the library, having a change of venue, bringing your work in progress, whether that's your knitting or your novel you're writing, and sitting in the quiet amongst books with all of that possibility right around you, it feels cozy and it feels inspiring at the same time. There's tons of writers groups available at your library, of course, book clubs as well. And one of the local libraries around here, they even have a men's book club because they felt like so many women were, of course, doing book clubs with their friends. But they found that it was a way for men to connect with each other in a way that was much more emotional and less about maybe sports or physical activity, where they actually discuss characters and character motivation, and maybe even themselves. If you don't have one of those, meetup groups are always available at the library. You just ask about the rooms that are available for use. There are teen rooms at a lot of libraries, and there are also adult rooms that are there for your whatever whim you have. They're there for your purpose. So if you feel like in your community, you don't know how to create a knitting circle or a quilting circle or a book club, or you're interested in doing activism or forming an active group, your library will help you create that in their open public spaces. And that's another reason to, of course, frequent those places. Story time. If you're a young mom, there's nothing more wonderful than taking your child to a place where they have the expectation that your child is going to behave like a child. So if they're chatty, if they're talking through the story, the children's librarian is not going to be upset with them, and neither are the other mothers. They're happy to be out of the house. They're happy to have their child be welcomed into a space. And of course, the reading is magical as well. My son goes to a gym that's across the street from our library, one of the libraries I like to frequent. There are two near me. I'm very lucky. And it is the Duval Library in Washington. And a big shout out because it is the sunniest, most welcoming space. And so when I drop him off to go work out, I go to the library. I put my headphones on. I have a quiet space that's outside of the space that I've created at my house. And that's almost outside of myself a little bit. I can be in the public space, but still be myself thinking about whatever it is I'm working on. I can do research for a book. I can write lyrics to a song I'm working on. I can work and have books around me, which make me feel so at home. But also I can be out in the world and then also utilize the space without having to buy a cup of coffee or having to sit and have a meal. It is a free space. And I just can't underscore that enough in today's society that there aren't a lot of free spaces. When people wonder about teenagers and what they do, where are they supposed to go? What are they supposed to do? Because there's always this expectation of money being spent. And I think that there needs to be more community spaces available to them. And the Duval Library has created this teen space within their library that's actually quite a big, beautiful room where people can gather and play Dungeons and Dragons or listen to music or just sit and do homework together. But they can be together without the expectation of spending money. And I think that is a very powerful, powerful idea. For those of you who are just getting into audiobooks, maybe you've listened to my podcast and how much I love audiobooks, the Libby app is, of course, connected to your library card. and you can get all kinds of free books. Every book that you can imagine is available through your public library. There's no need to join Audible. It is there for you. And of course, any of your public libraries can put any book on hold for you. You might have to wait a little longer, but it will come, and you can just walk around and be inspired by the titles on the spines and go into sections that you maybe aren't a nonfiction reader, and maybe you'll find something that inspires you. At one of the libraries in Woodinville here where I live, they have a huge biography section. It's just shelves and shelves and shelves of biography. And sometimes it's just amazing to go in and choose someone off the shelf, not even a title. And at Valentine's Day, they do a sort of a blind date with a book, and they wrap books in brown paper, and you can read a couple of little almost like dating vignettes on the cover of the brown paper and pick your book accordingly. But I highly suggest that you build going to the library into your routine, your creative routine especially. And with so many cuts on the chopping block, always vote against cuts to the library. It's absolutely an essential in our society. Carla Hayden, who is the librarian at the Library of Congress, she's the first woman to hold that position. She happens to be African-American as well. She says everyone has the opportunity to be empowered at the library. And that is absolutely what I think. You can walk into that building and belong immediately. There's nothing you can't learn in the library, either through the programs that they have, the programming that they have, where they help people with immigration, they help people with tax filing, they help elders with estate planning. All of the programming that they have, as well as all of the books. And I want to give a special shout out to two librarians that are important to me. One of my former students, Katie Chung, who's the assistant director at the Danbury Library, and my other really good friend, Adrian, who works at the University of Michigan Library as well. And I would just remind you of all of the wonderful things that the library does for you, the homework help, help with learning the language, help with taxes, help with homeless services, and the fact that the Library of Congress holds every single thing that you can imagine. And I really encourage you to make your library a stop this week. See what they have to offer you. Check a book out. Check 10 books out. You can keep as many as you want. I even heard of one library that instead of charging late fees or fines, library fines, will let you show them a picture of your cat instead. I mean, what an amazing thing. I hope you all are well, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Literary Sipper. I hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something new. If you did, please subscribe and leave a rating and review if you're feeling especially generous. Until next time. Keep reading, keep writing, and keep putting your voice in the world. It's waiting for you.